Amen. Praise the Lord. Something about that name, or the very first mention of it, a baby leaped in a mother's womb. Mother was afraid that there was no life there. The baby heard that name and leaped in its mother's womb. Amen. What it ought to do to those of us that are outside of the womb this morning. Amen. In His presence. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back again with you this morning. I'd like to turn to Romans, the 9th chapter. If you don't mind, we'll read the 10th through the 13th verses. Romans chapter 9, verses 10 through 13. Now, you need to put your thinking caps on this morning because we're going to have a little Sunday school lesson. But it's a Sunday school lesson that you won't hear outside of the ranks of our message, because it took a prophet to reveal these things to us. God had to first show His prophet, and His prophet showed us. So trust it. It'll be a blessing to you this morning. Romans chapter 9 and verse 10. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but of Him that calleth. Again, that word election in the Greek is chosen. The act of picking out, choosing, used of the act of God's free will, by which before the foundation of the world He decreed His blessings to certain persons, the decree made from choice by which He determined to bless certain persons through Christ by grace. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Before either one was born, before either one made any choices. May the Lord add His blessing in reading the word. How many would like to be remembered in prayer? Father, as we bow our heads before You, we come humbly before You, Lord. We know that humility is or humbling is something that we must do. We don't want to be humbled. We want to choose to humble ourselves before You. Lord, recognizing we know that humility is not calling ourselves a dish rag or some trash or something that it's worthless, but it's recognizing, Lord, that without You we can do nothing, that there's no good thing in us of ourselves, but Lord, it's also recognizing who we are in You and who You are in us this morning. And Father, if You're humble, then certainly all of Your children will be humble as well. So Lord, we want to lay aside everything this morning. We want to put aside every care, every worry, every burden. And we want to come before You. And we want to take part, Lord, of the manna that You prepared for us from before the foundation of the world, that You predestinated for this morning service. Lord, we just ask Your blessings to be upon each and every one. We ask that You'd move upon every request that was behind every hand that was lifted in the building. Lord, there are those that are traveling this morning. We ask that You bring them back safely. Those that are sick, Lord, that You would raise them up. And Lord, we surely give You the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. I'm going to title the thought here this morning, The Logos of God. I've got a lot of hay on my fork, so just bear with us because I want to kind of lay a platform for where we're going tonight. But I'd like to start by reading from the Smyrnian Church Age. Brother Branham said, Jesus Christ is choosing His own bride, just the same as men choose their brides today. Now, I don't know who would argue with a man having a right to choose his bride, so why wouldn't God have the right to choose His bride? The bride today does not simply decide she's going to take a certain man for a husband. No, sir. It's the groom who decides and chooses a certain woman for his bride. John 15:16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Now, according to the word of God, the bride was chosen before the foundation of the world. This choosing of the bride was purposed in Himself. Ephesians 1:9 and in Romans 9:11, it says that the purpose of God according to election might stand. You can't read it any other way. The heart purpose, the eternal purpose of God was to take a bride of his own choosing. And that purpose was in himself. And being eternal was decreed before the foundation of the world. So the groom decides who he will take for his bride. And he purposed in himself to take a bride. This was his purpose. He didn't ask anybody. There wasn't anybody to ask. He didn't take a poll. It wouldn't have mattered. There was nobody to respond to the poll. And he was all alone in thinking this. And he made his choice from within himself. For there was nothing else to choose from. Nothing would be able to stop this from being fulfilled. Because he purposed this in himself. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Again, he says, down through the centuries we could go. We could find a Moses and a Jeremiah and a John the Baptist. And each one of these were God's eternal thought expressed in its season. We took this as a text one time. Then we come to Jesus, the Logos. He was the perfect and complete thought expressed. And he became known as the Word. That is what he is and forever will be. The Word. So names were foreknown. And each name is a thought that would be expressed in its season. It's one of God's thoughts. Then when it came to Jesus, he's the attribute of the fullness of God. In other words, in him is the complete thought of God himself expressed in human flesh. He isn't just a thought, but he's the complete thought. And that was in God, expressed in one body called Jesus. You with me so far? So when Jesus was born on the earth, he was not a lesser part of God. He was not a second part of a Trinity. He was not even the Son of God in the sense that he was the second part of the Trinity or the second being of God. I have two sons. And each of my sons were once in me. And each of my sons are distinct and separate beings. So when you see one, you haven't seen the other. And when you see them, you haven't seen me. And though you'll find certain characteristics in me that you will also see expressed in my two sons, in one or the other, or both, neither of my sons are me in another form. Are you with me so far? Neither of my sons or my daughter are duplicates or clones of me. So when you see either of my sons, you see certain attributes that were once in me or that are in me that are being expressed once again in them. But you also see attributes of their mother and attributes of aunts and uncles from both sides of the family and attributes of grandparents from both sides of the family that you don't see expressed in me. So when we talk about God being our Father, he's actually both our Father and our Mother. Because all of our DNA was in him. And because all that we are was in him alone in the beginning, there was no one else. There's no grandparents or aunts or uncles. Because he has no parents. He has no beginning. So we have no grandparents or aunts and uncles in him. He only has children. He is both Father and Mother, and all that we are is in him. So he's our Father, he's our Mother, and in him was also our sisters and our brothers. Each one being separate, each one being distinct attributes of himself. But there was one Son in him that is the full expression of himself in another form. Are you still with me? And this is a son like no other son. Because this is the Father expressed through the Son. It is God expressing in word form the Logos of God. The title of our sermon this morning. So the summation of the thoughts of God concerning himself expressed in spoken word form. It's Spirit God in word form. And if he is the full expression of the thoughts of God, follow this closely now. If he is the full expression of the thoughts of God, and if he is the attribute of the fullness of God, then he is all there is to be expressed concerning God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. I came from God. I go back to God. In this Son are all of the rest of the attributes of God. All of the other attributes that are expressed in word form and that will be expressed in flesh form was all in this Son. So to sum it all up, all the thoughts of God were expressed in the Logos of God, which we call the Son of God, the Word of God. So God is both Father, Mother of the Son of God or Logos of God, but it's not another being. It's God pouring himself out in another form. Are you still following me? And this is where we get confused when we talk about sonship, daughtership from humans. Because there's parallels, but it's not an exact parallel. Then all of the other sons and daughters of God, thoughts that were in God, were then in the Logos of God, the Son of God. So these other parts, sons and daughters of God, are actually part of the expression of the Son of God. God is both male and female. He is both Father and Mother. The male part would be expressed in Jesus. The female part would be in Jesus, waiting to be expressed. Would be carried in Jesus. Would be expressed through his bride, who is made up of sons and daughters of God. Are you with me so far? All that was in God was poured into Christ. Every thought, every attribute, all that he is, both male and female. But not all of that was expressed in Jesus. Yet it was all there. So individually, these others that were in Christ, they are the brethren of Jesus, sons and daughters. They are brethren of Jesus. Collectively, though, when you bring them all together, they are the bride of Jesus Christ. They are the feminish, and he's the masculine. So the Logos of God is the complete thought of God in word form. So if you and I are attributes of God this morning, we were chosen in him to be expressed by him and for him, and it was not our choice. You can see how there couldn't have been a choice there. This is his choosing. And if we aren't an attribute of his, then we are church members who choose to join a church and choose to be part of a church. And maybe we change our minds. And if we aren't an attribute of him, we weren't chosen by him to be part of the church. But we chose to join the church. You still with me? And we aren't the word of God being expressed in human form if we aren't an attribute of God. So we're either one or the other. We're either an attribute of God or we're not. If you are an attribute of God, God chose you. You were with God, you're going back to God. You will not return unto him void. You'll accomplish the thing that he sent you to accomplish. And if you're not part of him, he still has mercy and grace, not willing that any should perish. And you choose whether to accept what he's offered you or not. So people that are so hung up on choice, they're telling you where they came from. If you came from him, it was his choice. It was his choosing. Well, we're going to back this up this morning. So if our identity is in the logos of God, nothing can pull us away from the love of God. If you came out of the logos of God, you will go back. If you are part of Him, you will always be part of Him, and you always have been part of Him. But if our anchor is only in the church, or in an organization, or in a creed, or in a pastor, or in a mother or father, or brother or sister, if our anchor is only in church membership, by our choosing, there is a place for us. But our anchor in Him under those conditions is based on our choosing to take Him at His word concerning us and on us staying with His word. If we confess, if we accept, if we stay, we will receive our reward. But that's based on our choosing. Again, in who is God? He says, and there, the great space where no one can fathom in their mind beyond that, that space, eternity, that's Jehovah God out there. And we're taught in the beginning that the Logos or the Son of God went out of God. Now, I do not believe in eternal sonship. That's even radical to even mention such a thing, eternal sonship. He had eternal sonship. It's even eternal sonship. How could He be a son? He had to have a beginning, see. So in other words, the Son of God came out of God. That's what He said. I came out of the bosom of my Father. But the office of sonship is not eternal. It's the eternal one pouring Himself out, expressing Himself in another form. Now this is in 1950 that He said this. Imagine how radical this must have sounded. Who was talking about things like this before the beginning? Who was talking about things like this in 1950? Again, He says, let's see Him coming out of space. Now this is where it would take a prophet. He's not making this up. He didn't just get an idea in his head and thought, well, let's put a story together. He saw this by vision. He preached by vision. He saw this just as Moses saw what Moses wrote, just as John saw what John wrote. He says, let's see Him coming out of space where there's nothing. Oh, you drive yourself crazy just meditating on that. There's nothing but God. Well, where did He come from? You can't even ask that question. He's eternal. Well, where did He come from? He's eternal. Well, where did He come from? See how trapped we are in time? Let's see coming out of space where there's nothing. He's eternal and there's nothing. How long was He eternal and there was nothing? That question doesn't even make sense. Because there was no time. Let's make it a little white light. So we're seeing this. Brother Brown's going to show it changing form. Let's see it a little. Let's make it a little white light, like a mystic light, like a halo. And that was the Logos that went out of God in the beginning. That was the Son of God that came out of the bosom of the Father. That was what was in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This is what John preached. Moses told us what took place after the beginning. John told us what took place in the beginning. A prophet came and told us what took place before the beginning. That was in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was God. And then out of God came the Logos, a part of God that went out of God, the very expression of God in another form. So don't get the picture in your mind of an old man that existed. I guess he got old because he existed forever. and a son coming out of this old man. That's not the image. He's eternal. He's without beginning. He's without ending. And he's without form. And he poured himself into another form that now had substance. A form that was tangible. A form that could be known. A form that could be related to. Again, he says, and there, you see, is just like a child playing before the door. He's still talking about this light, this little halo. It was the Son of God, the Logos. And I can see him out there. And he spake and he said, let there be light. And there was nothing. But there was something that happened. And an atom turned there and began to whirl around this way. The sun began to come into existence because he said, let there be. There's the authority. Where did he make it from? I don't know. There was nothing to make it from. He didn't go to his factory and say, I'll grab this material or that material. There wasn't any material. But he believed his own word. Oh, that's wonderful, friends. He believed his own word. He spoke it and he believed his own word and there was light. And I can see a piece fly off of that. It was a meteor. After a few million years or 100 billions of years, if you want to call it. And it circled way out and I see him standing there watching it. And it falls down in here and he stops it after it falls a few million years. And let it hang there in orbit. Here goes another one flying off of the sun. And it goes over here and hangs down and stops it there. God's creation. He's moving from the invisible to the visible. Yet he still exists in the invisible. And he will always exist in the invisible. Because he can't change. So we might think of it as the invisible putting on a mask. So that you can see the mask. And know that what's dwelling behind the mask is the invisible. Amen. There was some kind of a story. It started out as in a cartoon in a comic book of the Invisible Man back in the 60s, I guess. The Invisible Man, you couldn't see him. People were afraid he was going to walk in the room. And they wouldn't know that he was there. Somebody got the idea of using some spray paint. Or if he would wrap himself with some clothes. Then you could see him, but you're still not seeing him. You're seeing the clothing or the paint or whatever it is. And what that's telling you is that behind that paint, behind those clothes, is the invisible man. And he's still the invisible man. You say, but I see him. No, you don't really see him. You see his mask. So he is a white light, Brother Branham says, a halo. And then he takes on a form of a theophany. Starts out as this white light swirling, a halo. Then he takes on the form of a theophany, he says. We'll look into that a little bit more here in a moment. What is he doing? This is 1950, Brother Dutch. His first messages that we have on recording is 1948. 1949, not much. He's talking about Samson and Goliath and divine healing. He's trying to bring things back to the church that should have never, that are part of the church. It's part of the Bible. And in the midst of this, he's talking about before the creation, God creating himself into his own creation. What is he doing? He's writing his first Bible. Notice the human beings once looked towards the heavens. And he puts all the stars in the heavens, the zodiac, starting out with the Virgin, ending up with Leo the Lion, the first coming of Christ, the second coming, came by the Virgin, came again, come again as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. There he puts the first Bible. And I can see that light moving over here. and pulled the earth over near the sun to dry it off. And he began to raise the water, separating the land, earth from the water, and so forth. And we heard marvelous descriptions of this last weekend. Then he began to create. And he made the fishes of the sea, the vegetable life, put cattle on the hill. It all looked good to him. Then he said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. Is that right? All right. So he made man. God was spirit. He had to be a spirit man made in his image. If you're going to make somebody in your image, they have to be like you. So if God's a spirit, he had to make this invisible spirit man. He put him here on the earth to lead the animal life and so forth, like the Holy Spirit should be leading the church today. That was man. So what was this man that was made in the image of God? This is God making the elect of God. This is God making his children. Spirit form. When he said, let us make man in our image, it is the invisible speaking to the visible. It's God talking to himself. Do you ever do that? My wife does it all the time, so I know it's possible. It's when you start answering yourself that you get a little nervous. The invisible working through the visible. Again, cruelty of sin, penalty that it costs to rid sin from our lives. That's a nice short title there. 1953. So we've progressed 3 years. He said, let us, plural, make man, plural. Make man, plural, in our own image. Let us make man in our own image. So then when God made his first man, he was a spirit man. He made you then too. He was something on the order of God, or the Son of God, the Logos. Something on the order. That was the first man. Then he gave the man jurisdiction to lead the animal life. Just like the Holy Spirit leads the believer today. Go here, do this. Now if we were perfect in submission to the Holy Spirit, God would lead us by the Holy Spirit, just like Adam led the animals of that day. So the original man was in the image of God. And the original man could not fall because he was in the image of God. It wasn't until the man was placed in the form of the image of beast that man fell. The image of God was hidden behind a veil. It was hidden behind the image of beast, the image of the earthly kingdom, the image of the animal kingdom. The flesh is not the image of God. And that's why we cannot trust our flesh. It's our flesh that gets us in trouble. So the first man was in the image of God in the little white light or halo. That logos then came in the form of a theophany that looked like a man, but wasn't a man, but looked like a man. Sons and daughters of God were first spirit beings. You don't remember that. But when God said, let us make man, he was talking about you and I. We were right there. Again. He says, and when he made everything that looked nice and good to him, now he said, let us, plural, make man, plural, in our image, our own image. He said, what was he? There is a supernatural being. Now, if he's a supernatural being, he makes man in his own image, plural, he made supernatural beings. There is the one that could not be seen. God the Father never was seen and never will be seen. He's all nature. And there he is. And now, here's the Son, which is the Logos, that went out of him, made in his image, a supernatural being that went out in the beginning. And you were there. So the Logos is God moving into another form. A form that can be seen by those that God chooses to show himself to. Some see the pillar of fire. Some don't. Those that see the pillar of fire don't see the pillar of fire all the time. That's up to God. But he's behind that pillar of fire. And the fact that it can be seen is God is showing that God's bringing himself down into a form where he can be known. He's in that pillar of fire. So where you see the pillar of fire, you're seeing the mask that God is veiled behind. Because even when you see the pillar of fire is not God. God is in the pillar of fire. So when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have part of that pillar of fire now down in you. Though you can't see it, yet it's there. So the image of God is recreated in you by the Logos, which you are a part of, when you are quickened by the new birth. The Word was created. I want you to get this now. The Word was created before Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. All things were created by him and for him. Colossians. Nothing was made that was not made by him. So he had to exist before. The Word had to exist before creation because the Word is what created. So the Word was created before Genesis chapter 1. This is God forming himself into his own creation. And God can only become tangible in Christ. Now, a majority of what we're going to take from here on is from questions and answers on Genesis 1953. Brother Branham was asked, what's the difference between the man in chapter 1 and the man in chapter 2? Adam, the first man in the lower creations of God. The first creation was God himself. Did I read that right? The first creation was God himself. God creating himself into his own creation. Then out of God came the Logos, which was the Son of God. Then out of the Logos, which was the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Out of the Logos came forth the man. And when he says the man is all the sons and daughters of God, including Jesus Christ. So the Logos gave birth to them. It's real quiet here, but that's okay. You had to be part of the Word.
Amen.
The Logos gave birth to them before there ever was a star. And that's why you can say, before Satan fell. Actually, as we heard this weekend, before Satan's birthday. See, well, we get so hung up on birthdays. You didn't have a birthday. Oh no, you weren't left out. You should rejoice that you don't have a birthday. Because if you had a birthday, you had a beginning. But you have no beginning. You were part of the eternal that was being expressed in word form first. Oh, hallelujah. And since the devil has a birthday, he has a death day and a death certificate. And you'll be there at his funeral. And there'll be no tears. So, Not just before the fall, not just before Satan fell in heaven, before Satan. Before there ever was a Satan. You existed.
Amen.
Now your soul has no issue believing this word. And the reason why your soul has no issue believing this word is because you're a part of this word. Oh God. Oh, we could just have us a nice little dance here in a minute. But I want to lay this foundation. Is that okay? Let's go back 100 million years before there ever was a star, before there was ever a moon or anything in the world. Now there was a time when there wasn't nothing here. It was just all forever in eternity. And all of ever in eternity was God. He was there in the beginning. Now let's go out here on the edge of this banister and look over and see these things happen. Don't you love how we're seeing this. We're seeing what took place before a molecule exists through the eyes of a prophet. One like you and I, except he came equipped with vision. He says, now no man has seen the Father at any time. No man can see God in bodily form because God is not in body form. God is a spirit. See, all right. No man has seen the Father, but the only begotten of the Father hath declared him. I, John, see. Now, but notice now, there's nothing. There's just space. There's no light. There's no dark. There's just nothing. It just seems nothing. But in there was a great supernatural being, Jehovah God, who covered all space of all places at all times. He was from everlasting, from everlasting. He is the beginning of creation. That's God. Can't see nothing. Can't hear nothing. Not a move of an atom in the air. Not nothing. No air. No nothing. But yet God was there. That was God. Now let's watch for a few minutes. He says, no man has seen that now. That's the Father. That's God the Father. Spirit God. Might I just put it to you like this? That's still God. That will always be God. In the 8th day, you're going to see the Father hanging over the Son. Now don't let that stumble you. You're going to see the pillar of fire hanging over Jesus Christ. God is not a man. He never will be. You say, well then, what about the Son? The Son is the expression of Himself. In human form. So God gave birth to a son. The expression of himself. God becoming tangible. God moving from unknown to known. And when you see the son, you see everything about God. Again, he says, now notice, then after a while, I begin to see a little sacred light begin to form. Like a little halo or something. You could only see it by spiritual eyes to look now. While we're looking, the whole church now, we're standing on that on a great big banister, watching what God's doing. And we'll get right down to this question here and you'll see how he brings it in. What a question. Aren't you glad somebody asked this question? Sister Naomi, I wasn't there. I couldn't ask the question. I'm glad whoever that was there. Somebody might have thought, well, that was dumb. What a dummy. Well, thank you, dummy. Because there's another dummy. That's me. I wanted to know the answer to this, too. No one has seen God. And now the next scene we begin to see by eyes of supernatural looking, we see a little white light forming out there. What is that? That was called by the Bible readers logos, or the anointed, or the anointing. As I was going to say, the part of God begin to develop into something so human beings could have some type of an idea of what it was. It was a little low, a little light moving. That was the Word of God. Now, God gave himself birth to this son, which was before there was even an Adam or heir to make an Adam. Jesus said, "Glorify me, Father, with the glory that we had before the foundation of the world." It's laying right there in the Word. We just couldn't see it. See, way back in yonder, friends, this is something that Moses did not talk about. Perhaps Moses didn't know about it. I don't know if he did or not, but he sure didn't talk about it. John spoke of it, but he didn't break it down to us. This little white sacred light, God giving birth to himself in another form. Again, he says, now in St. John 1, he said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." God unfolding himself down to a human being. Now watch how he did. Now back there then, when this little halo comes, now we can't see nothing yet, but just by the eyes of just supernatural, we see a halo standing there. Now that's the Son of God, the Logos. Now I see him playing around like a little child before the Father's door with all eternity. It's God forming himself into his creation. He's playing like a little child because he'd thought about it and thought about it and thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. But for the very first time, he's now experiencing what he's thought about throughout eternity. And no doubt he got a little happy. Isn't that how it is with you and I? We can think about something, think about it, think about it. You can think about your wedding. You can think about graduation. You can think about snow skiing. You can think about hunting, you can think about shopping, you can think about all of these things. But the thought is followed by a manifestation. People ask me all the time, "You excited about your trip?" Well, let's wait till we get, you know. Whatever happens is going to be the manifestation of the thought. Now, you can imagine all kinds of things and get happy over the imagination, but it may not be the expression of the thought. But when the thought's expressed, you get a little happy. And now then, in his imaginary makeup, he began to think of what things would be. And I could hear him say, "Let there be light." And when he did, an atom bursted. And the sun came into existence. She whirled for hundreds of millions of years, forming clinkers and burning and forming like it is today. Still burning. Still breaking atoms. The universe is still expanding. Now this is the first of many suns. Logos. And Logos can only marry Logos. So if he's going to have a bride and if she's going to be eternal, she'll have to be like him. Everything in his thinking had a name. Again, he says, and then God, before there even was a star, he knew that this world would be, gave this world a name. In the beginning was the heavens and the earth. And he knew that I'd be William Branham preaching the gospel from the pulpit. And you'd be John Doe sitting there listening to it. Before the world ever began. Hallelujah. Now, that's where people sometimes in the legalistic Calvinists get all mixed up. See, they say, well, why was some ordained to be lost? God's not willing that any should perish. He don't want no one to perish. But yet, being God, he knows that there's some that won't accept it. He had to know the end from the beginning in order to be God, didn't he? So when he knew he was going to have some women, these sisters ought to be shouting. when he knew he was going to have some women. So he just made their spirit right there. He didn't wait until you were born. Male and female, made he them. Spirit form. The Bible said he would. In Genesis 1:26, he created he him, man in the prefigure, male and female. Amen. See, in the prefigure, he made the woman and the man before they was ever formed out of the dust of the earth. And then God made the man not in his own image. This body's not in the image of God. This body is in the image of beasts. It's in the image of what we're ruling over. Now notice man. God knew in the beginning that he was going to have men and women. He knew that the Savior would be here. He'd have to bring Jesus. And he'd be crucified. And Jesus told the disciples when he was here on earth that he knew them even before the foundation of the world. Before the world ever came into existence. Now, he knew them in this other form. Logos. And God said also, or Paul speaking in Galatians, said that he ordained us and called us in him before the world was ever formed. Think of that. Before there was a foundation of the world, God knew Ormond Neville, and he knew that he would preach the gospel. Isn't that wonderful? Has chose why he's a member of the church, and God knew he was going to have that church. And he said, Paul was speaking to the church of Ephesus. He said, he's chosen us in him. Now we're all members of the body of Christ. Is that right? And God, before the world was ever formed, chose you and I in him before the world was ever formed. In the Logos. He says, isn't that wonderful? Let it break on you. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? So a part of you came forth from the Logos before there was anything else. The names that were on that book. It had to be. Otherwise he'd have to be creating this as he goes along. Now the first man now. He made the first man in his image. And we're returning back to that image. Is that right? To our first created image. Did you get that? I don't think you did.
Amen.
To our first created image. That means you had an image that was created. Before you became flesh. And we're going back to our first created image. Not our image is going to be created so that we could go back, but we're going back to our first created image. That which was, still is. Oh. We're returning back to that image. That's right, to our first created image. When God created me, William Branham. I'm going to read the rest of this, Daniel. That'd be okay. When God created me, William Branham, I was before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
That's before he made an Adam.
Hallelujah.
He made my being, my spirit. What we should begin to see is that we've been coming for a long time. We're going through a process. And we'll come to our fullness when we blend with that theophany. And blend with some elements of this earth. Heaven and earth embracing. And that becomes our glorified condition. But the fact that you were there before time began means you'll be there after time is no more. It takes the guesswork out. We're returning back to that image, to our first created image. When God created me, William Branham, I was before the foundation of the world. He made my being, my spirit. I wasn't conscious of anything, as far as I know of, but I was there. Do you realize you're not conscious of it? Because the part of you that would be conscious of it is not here right now, yet it is. But you will remember. When you blend with your theophany, you're going to go, oh yeah. Oh yeah. The darkness will be lifted. Oh yeah. You'll be known even as you are known. You won't be looking at him saying, oh wow, this is so cool how this worked out. Wow, I get to be like you. No, you'll come back to, I always was like you. And I'm coming back. We don't remember it. That's where faith comes in. If we can remember it, we'd be like Jesus, who did remember it. He said, take me back to the glory that I had with you before the world's began. How did he know that? Oh, because this is the story Daddy's been telling him all along. No, he remembered. When he spoke, he knew he was the Word. Now, humanly, these things had to come, had to break on him in this dimension. He had to find himself in the volume of the book. But unlike you, he didn't bypass his theophany. I was before the foundation of the world. He made my being, my spirit. I wasn't conscious of anything as far as I know of, but I was there. Oh, I don't believe you're getting it. Yeah, 1953, I don't think anybody was getting it. They're waiting for the prayer line. They're still in first pole. Hadn't even got to second pole yet. Still dealing with the flesh. Glory to God. Now the first man now. Excuse me. Wow, somebody's having a jubilee. He knows my name. God loves that. If we ever get to the place where we don't, there's something wrong with us. Now, there was some part of me, Ormond Neville, and the rest of you all here, that's in Christ Jesus before the world ever began. Some part of you. Well, where was Christ Jesus? The Logos. And here's to my analysis of that. How many would like to know what his analysis is? I think that people today that are possessed with this spirit, or the spirit, a part of these angelic beings, spirits which rotated off of God, that never fell in the beginning and resisted the devil's lie in heaven. Now you didn't pre-exist as you do in this form, but you did exist in spirit form. You were there. And you're doing here what you did there. You resisted the devil's lie there. You're resisting the devil's lie here. You weren't deceived there. You won't be deceived here. Now, some of you are getting a little nervous with this. Because it sounds like the Mormon doctrine of pre-living or whatever. Because he used the word angelic being, but he's not talking about angels. He's talking about supernatural spirit sons and daughters of God. You had to be there. You had to. Because all that was in God was poured into Christ. And all that's in Christ is poured into the church. So if you weren't in Christ there, you can't be in Christ here or there. You say, I don't remember. Good. You're not supposed to. So the part of you that was in Christ Jesus, not angels, but angelic beings, supernatural beings, logos. Oh, friends, isn't that what took place on the day of Pentecost? You saw this angelic being, this pillar of fire. And out of this pillar of fire came angelic beings. Little licks of fire. Tongues of fire. That rested upon each and every one. And they weren't playing musical bodies. They knew which one they were assigned to. And there's just enough. And no extras. Oh, glory to God. God didn't put you here on a trial basis, saying, well, if you don't make it, I guess I'll just take that lick of fire and put it somewhere else. No, it has a destination. Amen. Glory to God. Out of logos came logos. Out of the pillar of fire came fire. Spirit beings that you can't see. You've never seen yourself. You can't see God. You can't see yourself. But yet, you exist. I was reading over this here the other day how God would just move over Brother Branham and they'd lay traps for him and God would just move in simple ways. And this guy said, was saying nobody's ever seen God, so there couldn't be a God, and going on and on about that. And so Brother Branham said, what about your mind? You ever seen it, felt it, tasted it, whatever? He said, well, by your accounting, you don't have a mind. Because you never seen it. Right? How many seen your mind? So your representation resisted the lie of the devil. You were in him. You were there. And you're doing here what you did there. Of course you don't remember it. He says, now notice many times. How about dad or mother when they were dying and they saw their loved ones standing there? They recognized them. But it's in the supernatural body. What are they actually seeing? Theophanies. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one waiting for us already. We have body celestial. We have body terrestrial. He says, but now, here's the glorious part. On the return of Jesus at the resurrection, it won't be that body. That body then, that supernatural being that God created in the beginning, that will return to the earth to get another body, not born by a woman, but created by God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Spirit, theophany, body. To never get old or have a wrinkle. Never have gray hair on your head to be perfect forever. Hallelujah. Oh, brother. That would make me shout on a hot night. And we got air conditioning, so we may not understand what he's talking about. But on a hot night, you don't feel like you're cranky. On a hot night, don't touch me. Husband and wife in bed on a hot night, get away from me. Don't touch me. Get your heater off of me. I just wanted to pat you. Yeah, with that hot iron. He says that would make you shout on a hot night. That's right. Oh, this robe of flesh, it'll drop. and rise and seize the everlasting prize. What in the world do you have to worry about? Brother Joe, do you realize how fanatical this must have sounded? Even those that are saying, I believe that, he's a prophet, maybe, and maybe they're just catching that, and I believe the signs that I'm seeing in the first poll, and I believe the teachings that I'm hearing. And yet, what do you do with this? Friends, I've read these things for years. I didn't know exactly where to put them. I wasn't worried about it. I knew they all had a place. But then in God's time, brings it all together. It builds faith. It builds faith. What if I was to come this morning and tell you, Adrian, you weren't always from Tucson. Where you're from, your daddy was a king. Yeah. Yeah. And you lived in a palace. And everything that you wanted, all you had to do was say the word. And it was done. You didn't have to wash cars. You didn't have to clean your room. Probably somebody else to do that. You didn't have to worry about whether you had an allowance or not. Just speak. Your father owned the cattle of 1,000 hills. You were perfect in all of your ways. What if I was to tell you that this morning? What would that do for you? And what if I was to tell you that, you know what, your memory's going to come back one day. Amen. It's going to, but I want you to just trust me. Trust me that I'm telling you the truth. You weren't made to go to hell. You weren't made to fall. You weren't made to serve the devil. You weren't made to have bad dreams. You weren't made to have nightmares. You weren't made to be nervous. You weren't made to be sick. You weren't made to be anxious. This will all be over one day. And you'll go back to this condition that I'm telling you is you. What would that do for you? Would that give you faith that's necessary for the final step, which is the change of this body? Something has to. We know that we have to have faith for divine healing. We know that. And we know that we got to hear it preached. We got to have services. We got to, maybe have a prayer line. There's some that get all high and mighty about that and say, oh, we're beyond that. Just speak the word. Whatever level you're at, I don't want to deprive you of anything. Whatever it takes. Whatever level. We know what perfect faith is. But how do we get there? Faith comes by hearing. It's got to be preached. It's got to be demonstrated. It's got to be lived. And our faith just keeps coming up. He did this for me. He did that for me. He did this for me. He did that for me. He did this for me. He did that for me. And he'll change my body. This isn't just nice to know. This is need to know. But let me go a little further. It's want to know. I want to know this. How many wants to know? How many wants to know where you came from? How many wants to know where you're going to? How many wants to know why you're here? How many want to know how to get out of here? There's an escape plan. It had to be preached, though. The foolishness of preaching. But it's in the supernatural body. Now here's the glorious part. On the return of Jesus at the resurrection, it won't be that body. That body then, that supernatural body that God created in the beginning, that will return to the earth to get another body. That's your theophany. Not born by a woman, but created by God. Hallelujah. To never get old or to have a wrinkle, never have gray hair on your head, to be perfect forever. Hallelujah. Oh, brother, that would make me shout on a hot night. That's right. Oh, this robe of flesh, it'll drop. I'll rise and seize the everlasting prize. What in the world do we have to worry about? This is before the opening of the word. He's preaching this. But we didn't have faith to actually get a hold of this until after the opening of the word. But it's laying here. And this is why we want to get all the message translated in Spanish and get it all into their hands. Well, how much is enough? All of it. Well, we only need 63 to 65. You can't put this picture together with 63 to 65. These are pieces that were laying there. So that's your theophany. And if you just take the Greek word theophany, first part of it is theo or theos. Anybody know what that means? God. And the funny part, or the funny part, body. That's your God body. Oh, that's blasphemy. If you're a part of God, if your daddy's an elephant, what are you? An elephant. If your daddy's a giraffe, what are you? Giraffe. If your daddy's a mouse, what are you? Mighty Mouse? No. If your daddy's God, well, there's where the rub gets hard. There's the whole plan laying right there. How God created me in the beginning. I come down here on the earth, taking my place as a gospel preacher, or you as a man or a woman to salvation, when you live by the life, by the grace of God. Hallelujah. And that same spirit leaves here that was back there in the beginning. I'll go back to, listen to this, I'll go back to conscience of knowing I've been there. Oh, they don't need this. This was 53. They don't need this. It doesn't appear anywhere else. I'll go back to conscience of knowing that I've been here. Hallelujah. And then wait there under the altar, blessed forever, in a rest. And then we, when returning back, I take up my body in its very peak of best before death ever struck it. Glory to God. A different consciousness than we have right now. An awareness, Brother John, that I've been here before. That's real deja vu. Now you can't see your theophany, but you hear from it. The seed of God that's down on the inside of you hears from your identity. From that angelic being, from your theophany. Again, he says, that's why you believe this word. Part of you that spun off of that logos came in contact with you. Said, believe that. Amen. You said, I don't know how I know that's true, but I know it is. I believe that. Everybody else is hung up over carnal stuff. And believe this, disbelieve that, this sign, that sign. You just believe. Without proof. The seed of God in you hears from your identity, your theophany. When the word comes across your path in your day. God seen what the end would be from the beginning. And the logos come to the earth, which was Christ the Word, spoken word of God, part of God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And then we come out of Christ, which makes the same life that was in God, Amen. That was in Christ, Amen. In you. Amen. And just as sure as God raised this up, we've got to come up with the same thing. If the Spirit is in us, because it's the Spirit of God making us sons and daughters of God. Oh, isn't that marvelous? God, Christ, you. Jesus said, at that day, Brother Branham said, this is that day. You shall know that I am in my Father. Came out the Logos. I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Again, Thirsting for Life, 1957, he says, and the Logos, which was the Son of God, went out, created by these great fountains of purity, Spirit God. God, as those spirits, plural, went out and created the Logos, and it was body, and it was the form of what we are now, which is called in the clergy way of speaking a theophany. It's a body that doesn't have a spirit in it. It's a body that's waiting for you Christians. As soon as this life leaves this, you go into that body. When this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting, a theophany. 1957. It's you. We have. Be careful how you treat these little ones, for their angel doth always behold the face of the Father. What is that angel? What is that angelic being? That's your theophany. Who better to watch over you than you? Who has more of an interest in you than you? Oh, come on. You're your most interesting subject. That's why one of the reasons why people love Brother Branham so much, because he always turned the conversation around on you. Everybody likes to talk about themselves, hear about themselves. Oh, come on. Just admit it a little bit. All those times you should have died. Again, he says, the Logos and this great fountain. I got to hurry. This great fountain of spirit, which had no beginning or no end. The great spirit began to form in the creation. And the Logos that went out from it was the Son of God. It was the only visible form that the spirit had. And it was a theophany, which means a body. A body was like a man. It wasn't a man, but it was like a man. And that theophany could then come down and blow some dust and step into it and commune with Abraham. Moses saw it when it passed through by the rock. And he looked and he said, it looked like the hind part of a man. It's the same type of a body that we receive when we die here. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. That was it. And that was the theophany, which was the Son of God. The Son, that Logos, became flesh because we were put in flesh. And the theophany, the Logos, became flesh here among us, and it was nothing else but the dwelling place for that entire fountain dwelt in him. Oh, do you see it? I wonder how many saw it. Again, and now the Logos that went out of God, which was the Logos, all this began to form into a body shape. And this body shape was called, in scholars' teaching, Logos. The Logos that went out of God. In other words, a better word for it was that we call it a theophany. Theophany is a human body that's glorified. Not exactly with flesh and blood like it will be in the glorified stage, but it's a form of a human body that doesn't eat. Neither does it drink. It's a body, and it's a body that's waiting for us as soon as we leave this one. Now in there, we enter into that body, and that's the same kind of a body that God was. For he said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. Oh. Again, he says, we come from a higher being. In the beginning, we were in the image of God. That veil and the darkness keeps us from knowing it now. keeps us from knowing it now. Keeps us from knowing it now. If it wasn't for that veil, we'd know it now. But Jesus told his disciples, he was with them before the foundation of the world. He was with them before the foundation of... How could he be so comfortable with Peter, who's going to blow it in a few days? Peter, who's, you know, trying to push his way into this and that and the other, that gene hadn't been quickened yet. How could he be so comfortable? Because he was with him before the foundation of the world. The veil of the darkness keeps us from knowing it now, but Jesus told his disciples, he was with them before the foundation of the world. We were. We were. We were. We were. You can't know it now, but you was in the beginning. And if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Hallelujah. And then we move into this theophany, what we once lived, so we can eat and shake hands. Glory to God. I was having a discussion with a good friend of mine, a minister friend of mine. You know, you just bounce these things off. You're looking for the piece of the puzzle. Some people get nervous about that. We shouldn't get nervous. We're not going to force a piece. We're just looking for the piece that we're looking for. And you'll know it when you find it. And I don't care. You know, we get so hung up. Oh, no, it's got to be blue. It's got to be shaped this way. It's got to whatever. It's got to be the right piece is all. Amen. And when the right piece comes, it fits. Amen. And nothing else will fit. Amen. So some, you can't even discuss these things. They get hostile, which fear is what drives that. Afraid to have your gold tested. But if you can just accept that we were all wrong, and that he's bringing us to the truth, what do you have to worry about? Said he would. I don't care if I'm right or not. I just want to be right. There's a difference. There's a difference between you being right and you being correct. Some people always have to be right. But some people want to be correct. That means you have to be wrong to get right. And this age is called to repent. Every time you see a man receive the baptism, okay, just let me finish this thought. So my good friend, his argument was, I just can't see God making all these theophanies and then having them hang around like a suit of clothes in a closet. Well, then, what about Jesus? His theophany existed. Do you think it was hanging around like clothes in the closet? His name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Every one of the sons and daughters of God are written, their names are written in that book. Right? So he had a theophany. It wasn't just hanging in a closet. You have one. If your name's in that book. And it's not clothes hanging on a hanger. We lose this conscience. But when we go into that body, it's a different conscience. It's the mind of Christ. Again. Excuse me for a moment. Paragraph 83 in a paradox, 1962. So this is still before 63, if my math is correct. Want to hear it? It's before 63. So. Isn't that ridiculous? We know that we moved into the third pole, the opening of the word, in 63. But we also know that there are things that were preached in the seals that were preached in the church ages. Laying there. Not completely revealed. But they're laying there. He said, no wonder I this and that and the other. Every time you see a man receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's a paradox. How the God of heaven makes himself known in this man, talking through him, working through him, living through him. It's a paradox. And we are in the image of God. God took his own images and brought himself into the image of his own image that he made. Well, let's try that one again. We are in the image of God. God took his own images. So he made all these images. You take all of them and it's the expression of him. We are in the image of God. God took his own images and brought himself into the image of his own image that he made. God stepping in to the image. A paradox, he said. Again, the Holy Spirit is nothing in the world but the Spirit of Christ back working in the church. If the Spirit of Christ worked in Jesus, the Logos worked in Jesus, and he gave his blood that he might cleanse us, and God by foreknowledge set orders in the church of different things, that same Logos working in us will do the same thing. It's got to. Again, the Christ that lived in the body called Jesus is the same Logos tonight. That lives in the body of the church, performing the same things, living the same ways, loving the same ways, doing the same things, the same Spirit producing the same things, the same Jesus, yesterday, today, and forever. Again, the pillar of fire is the anointing, the pillar of fire. Now, this may go a little deep, unless it's some of you theologians, Dr. Vail. Probably brother here. Some of these ministers here from Arkansas, my good friends around, they probably know. Now that pillar of fire is the Logos that went out of God. The Logos, which is actually the attribute of the fullness of God. When God became into the form to where it could be seen, it was the anointing of the great Spirit that went forth. It's condescending, coming down. God the Father, the Logos that was up over Israel. He was holy, could not bear sin. There had to be a blood offering right in Eden. Then that Logos became flesh and dwelt among us. Where this Logos dwelt in a human body, which was the sacrifice. When man was made in the image of God, then God come down in the image of man to redeem man. That brought man and God together. Heavens and earth hugged and kissed each other. God and man embraced each other as fatherhood and sonship when the Logos became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus said, I came from God. I go to God. Is that right? After his death, burial, resurrection, and the ascension, when the body was taken up to sit on the right hand of God. Now, I don't mean God had a right hand. God's a spirit. But at the right hand means power and authority of God. That in the name of everything in heaven, it's named after it and subject to it. Everything in the earth is named after it and subject to it. A name above all names, Jesus Christ. Now this Logos that was in him, which was the Spirit of God, the anointing, through the sanctifying grace of the blood, brought many sons to God, which is anointed with the same Logos. Which is anointed of the same Logos. Which is anointed with the same Logos. If you're ever going to be a son or daughter of God, you always were. Amen. Again. Now in the day of Pentecost, it come down that pillar of fire and broke apart like that. And tongues of fire set upon each of them. Not their tongues, but tongues of fire set on each of them. An elected, selected group. Identified by this pillar of fire. Showing that God had separated himself into man. Do you get it? God the Logos separating himself into men. God, not in one person, he's in his church universal. Amen. Again, he says, now this, I've just got a few more here. Now in this last day, the Logos that was upon Jesus, which has become from back to the pillar of fire again, and has descended down on the earth to, he says, I was going to say something, but I watched this tape. They wouldn't believe that if I told him, if you told him. It wouldn't make any difference. People wouldn't believe it, but I'll admit it. But it's come down like an investigation judgment going on. The seeds is shall not be heir with a shuck. 1965, he says. He was God, the Logos. The word that went out of God. When he began to brood upon the earth and brought forth marine life. When the Spirit of God, the Logos, the word which God said, let there be. And there went the Logos, which is the word. And the word began to, because all this was the Logos, the whole word of God, the whole Bible for every age. As the Logos began to breathe upon the earth, there come marine life and building up and bird life, on up to animal life. And finally, there comes something in the representation or looked like the thing that was brewing it or brooding over it. God, a man in the very image of God. The man fell, like the seed has to fall. And then God began to brood over that after the fall. He brought up an Enoch. He brought up an Elijah. He brought up a Moses. He brought up a prophet after the prophet, trying to restore that image again. And finally, upon the earth came the genuine image of God himself again, which was God, the Logos, made flesh and dwelt among us. Now that same Logos has a part. He has got a bride. And the same Logos, this word that cannot be tampered with, this word that cannot be tampered. Friends, we don't have to protect the word. This word cannot be tampered with. Is brooding over the churches today. Calling you forth. Trying to bring back the word to its full manifestation. The prophets was carriers to that seed. The church denominations has been carriers to the seed now. But notice quickly, but like the shuck hugs and holds in the seed now, then it leaves her. Where are we at this morning, friends? Oh, well, we're seeing a falling away. We're seeing this one pull away and that one pull away. It kills us. It tears our heart out. We don't look and say, well, you know, shake our feet and shake the dust off or whatever. We don't like the separation, but the word brings the separation. Where are we at? The shuck holds and then lets go. There was a time when the seed was being protected by all that was around it. And the seed hadn't come into contact really with the light yet. But then the shuck begins to pull away, and what does that do? It allows the light to start striking that seed.
Amen.
And it brings a maturity.
Amen.
It brings the life into manifestation. Now it's ready to stand on its own.
Amen.
It needed to be protected. It needed to be sheltered. Until that time. We can look at it unemotionally in the plant kingdom, can't we? None of us cry over, you know, the shuck pulling away from the seed. Oh, that poor shuck. Oh, I just wish the seed would stay with the shuck. We look at it, we say, well, it's got to be that way. We recognize that there has to be a sifting, that they both have to be tossed up in the air. And there has to be winds of doctrine and different things blowing through in the evening time to bring the separation. And we see the shuck, it just goes this way and that way and this way and that way, but the seed just comes right on back down till all you have left is seed. Yeah, we don't like it. It's not comfortable. But at the same time, you're seeing things you've never seen before. In ways you've never seen before. And a manifestation of the word is coming on the scene. A maturity. is coming. As His word is being restored. And you're coming into a knowledge of who you are and what you are. Oh, friends. We know we have to get to this place. How many, Brother Wilson, how long have we heard this? Brother Eli, how long have we heard this? When the bride knows who she is, right? I don't know about you, but I was saying 20 years ago, oh, I know who I am. When I received the Holy Ghost, it began to break on me. I know who I am. I thought I did. Yes, there was something that was breaking on me. Yes, I was getting a glimpse of who I was. But I didn't really know who I was. Or I would have done the greater work. I haven't just been sitting back, well, you slow pokes when you catch up. See, I mean, some people do that, right? They sit back, well, we're just waiting on the rest of you. I'm rapture ready. Really? What are you doing with your time if you're rapture ready? Helping somebody else get ready, maybe? I don't know. Looking for that last seed? What's so wonderful about this, Brother Henry, is that it has to happen. We have to come to maturity. If I'm a son, I have to come to maturity. If I'm part of that bride, which I am by being a son of God, or you being a son of God or a daughter of God, if you're part of that bride body, you have to come to maturity. Amen. That means you have to come to the place where you know who you are. Amen. Which means you will come to the place where you'll do the greater work. Which means you will come to the place where you'll be able to discern the two spirits in the framework of the church. And you'll withstand the Antichrist spirit. And he'll be absolutely thwarted. That has to happen. What are we waiting for? Waiting for you to recognize who you are. How's that going to happen? By you staying away from church, obviously. By you listening to all the unhappy people out there that, well, friends, we ought to be a million miles beyond that. Well, I'm not happy because of this. Well, when were you happy? This isn't about you being happy. This is about you recognizing who you are. And that'll make you happy. Finding out you're not a loser. Finding out that maybe you are a misfit, but you fit. You're a misfit. I never did fit with this or fit with that. Good. I never fit with the church. You weren't supposed to fit there either. You were threaded to the word. And you find out where you fit. Amen. You find out that the one that started this is going to finish it. The truth is marching on. The bride is coming to maturity. Friends, don't listen to that devil. Oh, it's a mess out there. And this is a mess age. If that's what you want to look at. But I don't look at it that way. I see a bride coming to maturity. I see a word being restored. I see evening light. I see the pillar of fire returning in the evening time. The ark, the word. I see sons and daughters of God rising up, coming into their position, recognizing who they are as the first church did, as they were rapture ready, looking over into that other dimension, standing right there at the door. Say, we which are alive and remain shall not hinder those that are asleep. I see a church coming into her position. I see a church recognizing who she is. I see a church taking God's word and using it. And seeing the enemy being defeated. I see a church claiming their God-given rights. I see a church claiming their loved ones. Not just intellectually, but by faith. And through prayer. Praying through until it becomes a living reality. I see a church who's not afraid of Ebola. I see a church that's not afraid of coronavirus. I see a church that's not afraid of these things that are coming in the last days because they're not for you.
The plagues of the Egyptians are not for you. I see a church that's rising in her power, coming into recognition of who she really is. By the word is telling her who she is and who she's not. I see a church coming closer and closer to a body that's waiting for you, that's waiting and coming to unite with you and to pick up dust from this earth and blend together, and that'll become your glorified condition. I see a church that's ready to go to a wedding supper. I see a church that's waiting for her bridegroom to step out and say, come, my bride, my fair one, come away. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. If the musicians would come, please. Oh, friends, this isn't just some nursery rhyme. This isn't just something that we've been hearing for 20, 30, 40 years, however long you've been here, how long you've been going to church. Maybe it's been 6 months. Who cares? Don't let the devil beat on you this morning, but look at all the time I wasted. You're here, aren't you? Actually, some of the things that he points his fingers at us, the devil beat me up for years. Why didn't you come to this sooner? Well, I don't know. But I have a suspicion. It's because it didn't come to me. How could I come to this? Which one of you? Raise your hand if you went looking for this and you found it. Thank you for being honest. You didn't even know that there was a this. Much less that you're the one of the principal characters in the this. You know, if this is make-believe, don't wake me up. I used to wonder, you know, I'm a dreamer, I've dreamed all my life. I used to have bad dreams, I don't have bad dreams anymore. But I remember even as early as kindergarten, first grade. In fact, I read, I have a safe, it's in my closet. I don't know why they call it a safe. You can pick it up and carry it and take it out. Well, the stupid thing wouldn't open, and so, well, good thing I got backup keys, so I got the keys. Still wouldn't open. Stupid. So I took it out to the garage. I pried off the, you know, it's a steel case, and it's got these big steel pins that they're so proud of, you know, that lock in. You're not going to break those things. You're not going to saw through it, or, right? Oh, man. So what did I do? I took the knob off that you used to twist, and I took the key part off that you used to stick the key in. Once I got the key part off and the knob part off, I stuck my finger in there, pushed down on a little thing, and the thing came open. Why make it out of steel? Just need a pair of pliers. That wasn't even the point. The point was underneath it, there was a report card from kindergarten and from first grade. And the kindergarten one, I know they had the wrong kid. Everything was fine until it got to the social part, you know. Doesn't wait his turn. Doesn't seem to be focused. Speaks when he's not supposed to. Whatever. This is a completely different story by the first grade. I just think she had the wrong guy. If you would have told me then where I would be this morning, come on, friends. At that age, I remember to this day, I remember wondering, how do we know that we're not asleep right now? And that this whole thing that we call life isn't just one dream that we're going to wake up from. Anybody else have that thought? It's scary. That's nightmare material. I'm going to live all this out. That was just one night. What's going to happen tomorrow night? The worst part about that was not knowing whether it was true or not. I had no way of knowing. I couldn't understand the dreams I was having. Wow. How do I know? Actually, it came out to be true. This is all just a dream. This is all just a shadow.
one day I'm going to step out into the light of the brand new day. We're a work in progress right now. We're being developed in the dark room. But one day we'll be taken out of the dark room. We'll know as we're known. We'll see as we can see. Until then, we'll use our, it is an x-ray vision, we'll use our faith vision. Amen. We'll believe what the Word says about us. How many would like to be remembered in prayer this morning? How many would like to say, you know what? God, I want to believe everything that you said about me. And I want to cast down anything else. All I need is what you said. All I need is what your Word has already declared about me. I don't want my feelings. If my feelings don't match your Word, throw them out. If they do match it, that's fine. I don't want my imaginations if they don't match the Word. I don't want my memories if they contradict the Word. I want what you said. I want to take you at your Word. Be it unto me according to thy Word. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we bow our heads this morning, Lord, as we meditate on these things, what a privilege. Lord, prophets of old desired to see the things that we're gazing upon this morning and did not see it. And here we are living in the greatest of all times. Lord, we don't minimize the pain and suffering and the realities of how things feel and the hard situations, the trials that each and every one of us are going through. But at the same time, Lord, there's never been a day like this day. It's never been so bright. There's never been a time when the church is rising up like she is in this hour and coming to the recognition of who man really is, what he was created to be. And Lord, coming into that stature, new creations in Christ Jesus, coming to that stature of maturity in the Word. Father, every hand that was raised this morning, Lord, I raise my hands too. Our desire this morning, Lord, is to be what you've declared. We want to take you at your Word. We want to only believe. We don't have to make your Word happen. We don't have to help it along. We don't have to be fearful of whether it'll take place or not. It will. Our part is just to surrender and say, it be unto me. Our part is to receive. Our part is to say, Lord, I'll stand on your Word. I'll stand alone if I have to. May your Word be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your will, which is your Word, may it be done in my life. Grant it this morning, Lord. Minister to every heart, Lord. Touch every soul. Father, we love you and we thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. I kept you about a half hour longer than I wanted to, but I'll make up for it by keeping you a half hour later some other time. Amen. Let's sing that song, My Theophany. Can we sing that? One day I'm gonna take a step towards my theophany. One day I'm gonna take another step to my theophany. One day I know the final step, it's gonna send me.